Then they faint, then they wake it like cock.
Yeah, yeah, rolling. Coughing and smiling. Yeah, yeah, rolling.
Every day, not the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, rolling. Coughing and smiling. Yeah, yeah, rolling.
I put my mouth for song. Unknown soldier.
Yeah, yeah, rolling.
Unknown soldier.
Africa Live.
Here on the WhoRadio.com, I'm your host Nyabinga Zimbabwe, and we've got a really important show lined up for you today. We're going to continue the discussion today on these attacks that are coming down against the Uhuru movement in this period, including the case of Diop Olugbala. And in fact, later on in the program, we'll have Diop Olugbala live on the air with us today. The attack on Chairman Omali Ishitela's sons, Mwamba Ishitela and Weusi Waller. And we'll also talk about these recent internet attacks being made against Chairman Omali Ishitela, the Black Is Back Coalition, and Curtis Gatewood, minister out of North Carolina, who is connected with the Black Is Back Coalition. So we'll talk about these things in just a moment when we come back. Right now, we're going to let you ride out with a little bit of music. This is Herbie Hancock, Fat Albert Rotunda. welcome back to Africa Live here on AhuraRadio.com. I'm your host, Nyabinga Zimbabwe. And we have joining us on the line from Houston, Texas, Comrade Omawale K. Fing, the Southeast Regional Director for the African People's Socialist Party, USA, and also the editor of the Burning Spin newspaper. Uhuru, Comrade.
Uhuru, Comrade. Now, being Zimbabwe and Uhuru radio listeners, and one correction, being that Southwest.
What did I say? Southeast? Organized.
You said Southeast. Yeah, I know you want me to be down there in Florida, but that's just not the case, bro.
You need to come on down, man.
Yeah, we're way out in Texas, but that's okay. We got plenty of Africans here to organize.
All right.
Good to be here.
So we want to continue this discussion. Have this discussion again that we had on last week. We didn't have a whole lot of time to work with it on last week, and I felt like that we needed to put it out a lot better than we were able to do on last week. So I want us to have this discussion again on this question of these attacks that are coming down against the Uhuru movement. For one, because we got to have a good sense of what it is that's happening. Two, because there have been developments in all of these situations. And that includes the case of Diop Olugbala, who is set to go to trial on Tuesday, August 24th. That includes the cases of Mwamba Ishitela and Weusi Waller here in St. Petersburg, Florida, where this program is broadcasting from. And that includes the online attacks that are coming from this website, yesbuthowever.com, against our chairman, Chairman Omalia Shatella, the Black is Back Coalition, and Curtis Gatewood, one of the members of the Black is Back Coalition. We want to really deal with these attacks that are coming down because, as I said, you know, they're developments in all of these cases, and we want people to really get a sense of what's happening because this is happening in the context of a greater situation out there. First of all, this growing crisis that imperialism is facing, that this system is facing, you know, that comes as a result of the resistance of peoples who it has been sucking the blood of all this time for its own survival. So you have a system that is in crisis, and we see the crisis in so many different ways. Through the financial crisis, I mean, you see Greece has fallen off the map. Spain is coming right behind it. And it's crisis all over Europe. You see in the U.S., they're predicting the stock market could crash anytime from between today and anytime in the near future. It's a real serious crisis here, and it has to be understood that this crisis is a crisis that is resulting from the fact that this system, which is a parasitic system, which was born through attacking Africa, through attacking the what is now called the Americas, and setting up a parasitic relationship where it sucks all these resources, human and material, for its to build itself, to build Europe, to build what is now called North America, at the expense of the rest of us. And the fact is that this crisis is being caused by the fact that people who have historically been the host, been the victims of this parasite, are rising up in struggle against this parasitic relationship, or challenging those parasitic relationships. And there is a real serious problem that the U.S. has, in that it has this dormant revolutionary force in this country, the African working class, that it has to keep from becoming organized in its own interest, as it was in the 1960s, you know, in order to you know, prevent this crisis from escalating immensely here. So what it's doing is it is attacking the people. Not only is it attacking the people in general, but it's attacking the people's organization. It's attacking the people's leadership in the form of the Uhuru movement, of our chairman, Chairman Amalia Shetela. So we have to understand that. We have to understand that. And I wanted to open it up with that before we get into it. I don't know if you got anything you want to add to that, Comrade Kayfan.
I just want to say a few things, Binger. And then, first of all, I'd like to, you know, just start off with saying that we want to at least dedicate a portion of this program to our leader, Marcus Messiah Garvey, who would have celebrated his 123rd birthday on the 17th. So we really, you know, our organization's premise is based on what Garvey left us, you know, and we are the heirs to that movement. And just want to say a little something about this month of August in terms of, you know, when we celebrate the Black August with respect to the murdering, the killing, assassination of George Jackson in penitentiary in California. And we have to say that and take that in context with what we're talking about right here today. And that is George Jackson was in prison because the African Liberation Movement within current U.S. borders, for all practical purposes, had been removed from the streets to the prison by 1971 when Jackson was assassinated. Mm-hmm. So not only was Jackson in prison, our entire movement had turned into a freer political prison movement. You know, free Huey, you know, free Bobby, you know, free Erica, free the Panther 21 in New York, free O'Malley Shetela, free Joe Waller down in Florida. That's what the movement had turned into. So that's the context that we take these attacks on our movement now, that we've learned some things and that we must organize like we've learned some things, you know, because obviously imperialism understands that that it's in crisis, particularly because the people of the world are rising up in struggle to take back the resources that have been stolen from them. The African Liberation Movement, not only in this country, but worldwide, must make our contribution to that, and we are poised to do that in terms of the leadership of the African People's Socialist Party, USA, and the African Socialist International. We can point to the banning of the African People's Socialist Party, Sierra Leone, as an overall part of this attack that they're making against our leaders and against our movement, particularly at this point, the attack on Chairman O'Malley and his family and the attempted imprisonment of Diop Olubola, the current president of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement. So in the name of Marcus Garvey, we're going to defend Diop and our movement.
Uhuru, right on. I want us to get into these cases and given some background for these cases that we're talking about. I want to note also that those of you who are out there listening, you can participate in the discussion that we're having here. You can do so by calling in or email again. You can call the U.S. number, which is 727-565-1599. You can call the UK number, which is 020-8133-6629, Or if you hip to Skype, you can hit us up on Skype. Our Skype ID is Uhuru Radio, and that's all one word, all lowercase. And you can, through Skype, you can call us from anywhere in the world for free. Or you can email us at dj@uhururadio.com. So, feel free to participate in this discussion, even though most of us around the world are colonized. We want to go into, as I know that we're going to have Diop Olugbala on later on in the program, but I want to just begin with his case, because this is the first one to come down of these attacks, and I think that we have to talk about that. Diop's case is tied to really all of this is tied to the question of resistance. When you talk about the attack that's been made against Diop, who again is going to trial on this Tuesday, August 24th. You're talking about the brother who many of our listeners know around the world as the brother who led the charge in challenging Barack Obama in August of 2008, when he was before he was the president of the United States. When he was still on the campaign trail and happened to, for some reason, stop here in St. Petersburg, Florida, for a campaign event where the headquarters of the African People's Socialist Party is. And somehow he decided to stop here, not anticipating being challenged. But he was challenged. And in fact, Diop was the one who led the charge. And in the middle of that campaign event, his comrades held up a banner that demanded answer to the question, what about the black community? And Diop raised the question directly to then presidential candidate Barack Obama, demanding that he speak to the question of the black community. Why has he not spoken to the issues of the African community, including, the use of Hurricane Katrina against the African community as a weapon of mass destruction, with the U.S. government leaving Africans to die and then sending in police, armed forces, to shoot down African people. And we're hearing more and more information about that even now as these squads of police who were running around killing African people are being exposed. He raised the question of Obama's silence around these attacks, the murders of African people, including Sean Bell, which Obama wasn't silent about. In fact, Obama instead said that we should go what the police tell us to do on that. He raised the question in general about, speaking to the question of the black community. Why has Obama refused to do that? Not only did he do that, but following Obama's election as president, Diop began to challenge his policies in the city of Philadelphia in specific, these policies of Obama's regime of dumping the crisis, the issues of the crisis on the backs of African people, attempting to solve the crisis of the U.S. on the backs of African people, that was happening in Philadelphia, particularly under the mayor there, Michael Nutter. Diop Olugbala was challenging those policies there. And in fact, it was in the process of challenging those policies in a demonstration at City Hall that Diop was attacked by police and then charged with the felony charges that he has now, that he's facing on Tuesday, where the charges of assault on a police officer for having been attacked by a cop. You know, so this is Diop's case, and there's a lot more complexities to this, because even all through the case, through hearings and that have happened up to now, the state has been attempting to make it difficult for people to participate in this process. And I want to know, K-Fing, if you can say something about some of those things that the state has been doing, particularly around Diop's case.
Yeah, I just want to take us back just a minute. Like, what's happening here is that that wasn't the first day in terms of the March 19, 2009 incident where Diop was arrested along with Shabaka in a protest demonstration. Well, it wasn't actually a protest demonstration. It was the so-called right to free speech. All we did was hang a banner in the city hall. You know, during that time, the police in Philadelphia had murdered 38 African men within a two-year period. This is one of the questions that Diop was raising in front of that city council in terms of, hey, what are you talking about? More money for the police, and look what they're doing. At the time, also, we were being shown where African children were put out of a swimming pool in some white neighborhood because the swimming pools in the African community had been closed down. So this is those are the questions that Diop was confronting the city council with at that time. Not only that, the announcement that the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement would be having its annual convention in Philadelphia was also on the table. And the backdrop of Diop exposing neocolonialism and that is white power and blackface down in St. Petersburg, Florida, was also the question that would be exposed in Philadelphia in the form of Michael Nutter as the mayor and the head police in that town, District Attorney Seth Williams. So obviously the African petty bourgeoisie leadership in Philadelphia, which is known for its brutality and murder of Africans in the form of Philadelphia's first mayor, Wilson W. Good, with respect to the bombing of the community there on Osage Avenue and the killing of Move Africa, men, women, and children. So the black petty bourgeoisie replaced Frank Rizzo, who the left was fond of calling a fascist, and replaced him with a mayor, an African who would drop bombs. So, the question of political prisons and putting our movement in jail has always been to disrupt our organizational process. So, in March, Diop and the NPDOM there in Philadelphia organizing for the national convention to happen there in Philadelphia, you know, obviously not organizing in a vacuum, but organizing as they make struggle in the concrete interests of the people in terms of, hey, why are you putting this money here that supposed to be our money on resources for the police, the prisons, and the courts that does nothing but oppress and contain of the African people. It's a counterinsurgency, in fact. So once they've managed to disrupt and put the movement in a position where we've got to put forth resources, time, energy to free Diop, what they try to do is make it impossible for the people to participate in the freedom of Diop. That is, he can't even have an open court. And to do that, what this African judge did is that before you could even come into the courtroom, you had to show government ID. And showing government ID to the police is something that the average African, for reasons of being arrested, because we all almost keep some kind of warrant on us, if not that, just the general distrust that runs through the through our neighborhood with regard to our relationship to the police. So the judge in that courtroom made anybody who wanted to come in and witness a trial to produce identification, government identification, which in fact was an effort to neutralize the support of for Diop.
And not just that, K-Fan, part of this question of counterinsurgency is being able to keep track of who is going into the courthouse,
Exactly.
And so that's part of what they wanted to do in that process.
Well, they were effective in doing that, again, showing, say, hey, if you struggle against us, this is what will happen to you. You know, we will put you in jail and you will never see the light of day again. So best what you do is go along with this, mass imprisonment and just flip a coin and hope that it does not be you. You know, I mean, it's a straight up intimidation process. And again, and as you say, Comrade Binger, it is for the purpose of documenting any African, and Obama has made, we could be the Uhuru gang as far as Obama is concerned and be arrested and put in jail and won't even have the benefit of an open trial. So this is obviously an open attack, not only on Comrade Diop, but on the ability of the people to organize in the defense of those of us who they will lock up. I think, and the Lynn Stewart case, the white woman lawyer who was given 10 years in prison for trying to defend us, for trying to defend people who the government accused of anything, they can, just pull anything out the hat. They, and this is Obama's doing, they've come to the extent that they can even lock your lawyer up, if they want to. So we're in a position that now we've really got to expose this thing. And I think this, the party's vision and organizing the Uhuru Radio gives us one aspect of doing that. So, we call on the people to unite with this effort to free Diop. He's going to trial on Tuesday, and we have a number that you can call the judge. That's Judge Roxanne Covington, who, by the way, is an African. The DA is an African, but the initial judge was a white judge and saw the political heat that was coming behind that and had to recuse himself. And now there's an African judge, an African district attorney, an African mayor, and it was the African police who attacked Diop in the city council meeting that resulted in the charges of they do what they always do. They will assault the African and then turn right around and charge the African with assaulting the police. Just similar to the case of Rodney King, and it doesn't seem like we've been all getting along since then. But let me give you the number. We'll give you the numbers that you can call on tomorrow morning throughout this program. That's Judge Roxanne Covington. And her number is 215-683-7142. Judge Roxanne Covington, 215-683-7142.
Right.
District Attorney Seth Williams. 215-686-8000. That's 215-686-8000. Call in on tomorrow and let them know that we demand the unconditional that all charges be dropped against Diapo Lavula, government name Wally Rahman. Uhuru.
Uhuru. You're listening to Africa Live here on uhururadio.com. And I'm speaking with Omowale K. Fing, the editor of the Burning Spear newspaper, about these attacks that have been coming down against the Uhuru movement. We were just talking about Diop Olugbala's case, and we'll talk more about that later on. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about some of these other attacks that have been coming down against the movement, including attacks on Chairman Omale Yeshitela's sons, and attacks against our chairman, the Black is Back Coalition, and members of the Black is Back Coalition. So stay tuned here on Africa Live on theuhururadio.com.
In the spirit of God, in the spirit of the ancestors, in the spirit of the Black Panthers, in the spirit of Asada Shakur, we make this movement towards freedom for all those who have been oppressed and all those in the struggle. Yeah, yeah, check it. There were lights and sirens, gunshots frying. Cover your eyes as I describe a scene so violent. Seemed like a bad dream. She laid in the blood puddle, blood bubbled in her chest. Cold air brushed against open flesh, no room to rest. Pain consumed each breath, shot twice with her hands up. Police questioned, but shot before she answered. One Panther lost his life, the other ran for his. Scandalous the police were as they kicked and beat her. Comprehension, she was beyond trying to hold on to life. She thought she lived with no arm, that's what it felt like. Got to the hospital, eyes held tight. They moved the room to room, she could tell by the light. Handcuffed tight to the bed, through her skin they bit. With guns to her head, every word she got hit. Who shot the trooper, they asked her. Putting mace in her eyes, threatened to blast her. Her mind raced till things got still. Opened her eyes, realized she's next to her best friend who got killed. She got chills as they told her that's what she would be next. Hurt mixed with anger, survival was a reflex. They lied and denied visits from a lawyer, but she was building as they tried to destroy her. If it wasn't for this German nurse, they would have served the worst. I read the sister's story, knew that it deserved a verse. I wonder what would happen if that would have been me. All of this just so we could be free, so dig it, y'all. Waking up, walkie-talkies crackling, not saying where they taking her. Though she kinda knew what made the ride peaceful was the trees and the sky was blue. Arrived to Middlesex prison about 6 in the morning. Uneasy as they pushed her to the second floor in the cell. One cot, no window, face to hell. Put in the basement of a prison with all males in the smell of misery. Seedless toilets and centipedes. She exercised, paint, and began to read. 2 years in a hole, her soul grew weak. Away from people so long she forgot how to speak. She discovered freedom is an unspoken sound. And a wall is a wall and can be broken down. Found peace in the Panther she went on trial with. One of the brothers she had a child with, the foulness they would defeat her, hoping she'd lose her seed. Held tight knowing the fight would live through the sea. In need of a doctor, from her stomach she'd bleed. Out of this situation a girl was deceived, separated from her, left to mother the revolution and lactate to attack hate, cause federal estate was built for a black fate. Her emptiness was filled with beatings and court dates. They fabricated cases hoping one would stick, and said she robbed places that didn't exist. In the midst of threats on her life and being caged with Aryan whites, through dark halls of hate, she carried the light. I wonder what would happen if that would have been me. All of this just so we could be free. Yeah, I often wonder what would happen if that would have been me. All of this just so we could be free. So dig it, people.
Listen to my love. Asada, yes. Your Yeah. From North Carolina, her grandmother would bring news that she had a dream. Her dreams always meant what they needed them to mean. What made them real was the action in between. She dreamt that her daughter was free in their own house in Queens. The fact that they always came true was the thing. Her daughter had been convicted of a murder she couldn't have done. Medical evidence shown she couldn't have shot the gun. It's time for her to see the sun from the other side. Time for a daughter to be by her mother's side. Time for this beautiful woman to become soft again. Time for her to breathe and not be told how or when. She untangled the chains and escaped the pain. How she broke out of prison, I could never explain. And even to this day, they try to get to her, but she's free with political asylum in Cuba.
I'll be honest with you. I know a whole lot more about what freedom isn't than about what it is. Because I've never been free. I can only share my vision with you for the future about what freedom is. The way I see it, freedom is the right to grow. It's the right to blossom. Freedom is the right to be yourself, to be who you are, to be who you want to be, to do what you want to do.
You're listening to WhoRadio.com, voice of the International African Revolution.
Tune into Caribbean Forum with me, Ron Bob Semple, every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 a.m. on the Uhuru Radio Network. We examine issues that affect Caribbean and Caribbean American nationals, both at home and across the diaspora. If you're not listening to Caribbean Forum with me, Ron Bob Semple, here on the Uhuru Radio Network, then your radio is not on.
Uhuru, and welcome back to Africa Live here on uhururadio.com. I'm your host, Nyabinga Zimbabwe, and we have been talking with Omowale Kayfing, who's on the line from Houston, Texas, about the case of Diop Olugbala and attacks that have been coming down in general against the Uhuru movement and the Black is Back Coalition recently. So we're going to go back into that discussion. We want to invite you who are listening again to participate in the discussion. You can do so by calling in or emailing in. You can call the U.S. number, which is 727-565-1599. You can call the U.K. number, which is 020-8133-6629. You can call us through Skype for free anywhere in the African world. Our Skype ID is Uhuru Radio, and that's all one word, all lowercase. Or you can email us at dj@uhururadio.com. We did get a question in around Diop's trial. And this is from Ifia, who is asking, was a restraining order sought against ID requirement? And if not, why not? Is ID simply shown evidence of recordation of ID info, location and time of trial? I know the trial, I'm not sure whether a restraining order was sought against the ID requirement. I know that it was something that was a surprise. In fact, on the day of that hearing, they had moved the hearing to a different courtroom completely. In fact, it was initially, if I understand, I believe it was initially in a courtroom where other cases may have been heard as well, or at least it was in a courtroom that was easily accessible. And they moved it to another courtroom that was in an isolated place, with the move made it difficult for people to know where exactly to go. And at that location was where they had people show their IDs. I don't know about the restraining order, about whether a restraining order was sought against that. And when we get Diop on the line later on in the program, we'll be able to find out more information about that. The location and time of the trial will... K-Fing, do you have the information on the location and time of the actual trial?
Yeah, I'll give that to you in just a second. When I get access to it.
Okay.
But just in terms of the questions that Ifeo raised, I think that part of our problem here, and the state knows this, is the lack of resources. Now, NPDOM, we came up with, some meager resources. We need to really be able to provide some resources. We've got one attorney on this case, Michael Cord, a Philadelphia lawyer who's done some good work in the past, but this guy is filled with, his plate is full, and the resources to file briefs. Like right now, we were hoping that the progressive lawyer movement, especially black lawyers, would come in here and file, an amicus brief, that is, a friend of the court brief on Diop's behalf. We have not put this out good to the lawyer community, especially attorneys such as Ifeo, who know exactly what we're talking about and who know exactly what this thing is that the police are doing. I would suspect a brief would, I don't know if it's too late for the injunction now, but we need to be in the process of cranking our whole political machinery up, because in a lot of instances we have to fight tooth and nail with the attorneys for them to accept the political ends of these cases. That it's kind of hard to shake the legality, the law aspects of for the cases, he's just charged with aggravated assault on the police. That the video shows clearly where the police are trying to choke the brother out. But that has the actual physical evidence doesn't have anything to do with anything if. We don't build a political support, and our attorneys can really raise the political issues in this case. I would suspect that should have been one of the first things we should have done in terms of an injunction on how you gonna block people, how you gonna demand, we're under some kind of special law that people have to have ID to come into the courtroom. What is this? So I think the question answer to the question is no, we haven't filed an injunction on for them to stop those tactics. We will. That should have been one of the demands that we listed in terms of what people can do or what they should demand of this judge and that court there in Philadelphia. They stopped the Inquisition. No searches, no ID searches there on Tuesday when the people come to support Diop in his case. Okay.
Ooh, and I want to put out the information for when and where Diop's trial is located.
Oh, you got it. Okay.
It's on Tuesday, August 24th, and it's going to be held at 8 a.m. And that's at the Philadelphia Criminal Justice Center. That's located at 13th and Filbert in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Again, that's Tuesday, August 24th, 8 o'clock a.m. That's at the Philadelphia Criminal Justice Center at 13th and Filbert. That's when Diop Olukbala's trial will be held. And there will also be a demonstration outside of that trial. So, you know, want to call on folks to be there for that. We want to go into some discussion about some of these other attacks that have been coming down against the movement, because it's not just one that's happened here. On June 8th, in St. Petersburg, Florida, 30 military style troops, police troops, with ski masks and automatic weapons, surrounded and attacked a house in the African community under the pretext that somebody there was supposed to have had some marijuana. Two of the young Africans who were locked up as a result of this attack were sons of Chairman Amalia Eshetela. This is Mwamba Eshetela and Weusi Waller. This military attack on this community, you know, I mean, they blocked off that whole area. And with 30 police, when does it take 30 police, you know, to go somewhere and supposedly go lock somebody up for marijuana? Of course, we understand that this has nothing to do with any kind of drugs that they are claiming it was about. The reality is that you have a situation, because if the reality is if it was about drugs, then they would have gone to places where the drugs really are. You know, they would have gone around the corner to the university. University of South Florida, where is plenty of drugs on the campus. In fact, some might say the best drugs find themselves on college campuses in the U.S. Or they will go in the white community, where statistics say the majority of drugs are consumed. But they instead sent 30. You know, police troops in, again, with ski masks and automatic weapons to lock these young Africans up. Subsequent to that, on June 14th, Mwamba Eshetela was stopped again by 8 carloads of cops with dogs, and the reason that they claimed for having stopped him was that he was supposedly ran a stop sign on a street where no stop signs even exist in St. Petersburg, Florida. Of course, you know, they backed off after people begin to challenge them on the scene, begin to question them on the scene there. But following that again, police followed Mwamba Eshetela coming from the Uhura house and stopped and arrested him again on July 4th. And they claim this time that he left the parking lot illegally. And they locked him up again and said something. They searched the car, didn't find anything, and then locked him up again, saying they were locking him up on possession and selling marijuana. saying that they basically locked him up because they locked him up on those charges before, not because they found anything, not because he did anything, but because they had locked him up on those charges before. So, you know, this is a, you know, serious kind of assault that's happened where they're continuing, they have been continuing to attack the chairman's sons. Not only that, when they stopped Mwamba Ishitela, they told him that they're also going to lock up his brother, Weusi. And on top of this, since then, you had situations where police have parked in front of his mother's house, situations where the police have just been parking themselves around where the Uhura house is. And this has to be connected to this history in this city. Where back in 1996, police attacked this building, attacked the Uhura house, where we're broadcasting this program from right now in St. Petersburg, Florida. Surrounded the place with 300 police forces from various police agencies and attacked the building, attempting to kill everyone in here, the leadership of the Uhura movement in here. Course, at that time, they were beat back by a community. But one of the things that they're doing with this is, it has no merit. The case has no merit. It has nothing to do with any kind of drugs or anything like that. Part of what's happening here is that they're criminalizing the African community, but then they're also criminalizing, in particular, its leadership, in order to justify an attack on his leadership. I have to state that since then, recently, the charges were dropped against Weusi Waller. And they dropped the case apparently because they have no evidence. But they haven't dropped the case against Mwamba Ishitela. In fact, he's still facing felony charges. You know, they dropped the case against Weusi. They lowered the charges against the other two young Africans. And not only that, they've dropped cases of other houses that they've attacked since then in a similar kind of manner. One thing that's clear in this particular case, though, is that, you know, they are maintaining these charges against Mwamba Ishitela because he is a good symbol, you know, a good symbolic target, because his last name is Ishitela. And you know, if they can convict Mwamba Ishitela, then they could connect that to Omali Ishitela, who is the real target here, you know. Excuse me. You know, and the thing is, what is also being done here is that they're creating a situation where they're, you know, getting the community used to just being occupied, used to occupation. So they attack this house. They've been attacking other people's houses. In fact, in one case, a cop got shot when they were attacking somebody's house because the person thought that that it was somebody coming in trying to rob him. You know, and even in that case, all the charges were dropped except for the question of having shot the police. The charges related to having shot the police. But it's go ahead, Kayfer.
No, I was just going to say, Bing, that in addition, you know, to, you know, we can get back to this thing again in terms of them having the movement to expend resources on cases that they know are fraudulent, you know, that they understand and they notice, you know, in terms of the same, you know, like in Philadelphia, you know, they drop one charge, but they kept the charges on Diop to keep the movement struggling.
Yes.
You know, dropped the charges against Weyousi, keep the charges on Wamba to keep us, you know, to keep us busy, to keep us struggling. That was, you know, I mean, they don't mention that that the government down in Pinellas County is ready to sell an education suit that the African People's Socialist Party had put, that the, rather than the People's Democratic Uhuru Movement had put forward there in that county in terms of independent African schools that we would teach our own, that we are about to win that, that you know, so if they can keep us struggling and you know, expending our resources, then that takes from our ability to organize independent schools for our children, so their brains won't be slaughtered in the schools that they send our people to. You know, so that this is, you know, a pretty, you know, a good detraction. You know, and around this question of 30 you know, military personnel attacking, you know, a house in the African community based on somebody smoking some weed. You know, I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. But they know, you know, that for the last 20 or so years, they've managed to carte blanche, you know, make you know, just criminalize our community around the question of drugs, be it marijuana, crack, you know, whatever. But you know, like in Oakland, California, when, you know, when the struggle was going down, you know, in the Uhuru Movement, that clearly exposed, you know, the White House and the crack house, you know, and that our community is a victim of the drug economy, you know, and attacks on our youth in the community. And trust me, the chairman's children are just like the other Africans in this community. They just happen to be the children of the chairman. So mm-hmm. This attack on the movement. So we've got to be able to do that. And again, you know, they want us to expend resources, lock our people up, you know, so to keep us from, you know, I mean, the question of prisons, too, is you know, is a real question. But, you know, how about the education question we just, you know, in the suit? Let us be able to have the ability to work and solve the day-to-day problems of the people, you know, as opposed to them being able to make us turn our movement into, you know, free this political prisoner, free that political prisoner, and go into the funerals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just wanted to interject that.
Yeah, I think that's important, you know, because they attempt to create a picture, you know, that's not true. In fact, it's quite the opposite. You know, like you said, we understood a long time ago that the White House was the rock house, that that the drug pushes are the state. You know, in fact, in the 1960s, in St. Petersburg, Florida, in particular, when it was clear that the police were working with drug dealers in this city, that the police were heavily involved in the drug trade in this city. The chairman had said to the police to get rid of the drug dealers, or we'll deal with them. We'll get rid of them, you know. And in that particular situation, they served the chairman a subpoena to appear in court and use that to let the drug dealers off. This is when the police being the pushers themselves, the police being the pushers, and there are other cases like this, where in this particular city, the movement having identified a particular drug pusher, you know, who was doing that. In the vicinity of the Uhuru House, and the movement put out posters identifying this guy as a drug dealer, you know, identifying this cat, and the preacher approached the chairman apparently saying that the police chief had given him permission to assassinate the dealer, you know. So it's clear that it's the state who's tied to this drug question. And it's our movement who has historically stood against the drugs and exposed the state's relationship with the drugs and demanded an end to it, you know. But another thing is that it was a mayor here in this city, David Fisher, who was mayor during the time of some of these attacks on the movement in the 90s, who let the chairman know that a high official, government official, had said that there would be no peace in this city until they got rid of Chairman Amale Oshetola. And it's clear that that's what this is all about. That's what this is about. In particular, there's a new mayor now in this city, relatively new mayor in this city, who has historically, as his time in his time as a city councilman, been a rabid white nationalist attacking the African community. And what we're seeing in these attacks is an escalated attempt to get rid of this movement and to deepen the occupation of the African community here. That's why you see, you know, the street crimes unit, something that was created in New York under Giuliani's time as mayor there, being instituted here. That's who those 30 troops with the ski mask were. Who attacked that house, and have been running around rampant, you know, in the African community. That's who those forces are. And remember, the Street Crimes Unit is the same unit that was the one who pumped 40 something bullets into Amadou Diallo, and after they killed him, said, "Oh, we." Made up this ridiculous excuse saying, oh, we thought his wallet was a gun. You know, it's the same unit that sodomized Abner Louima, that shoved a plunger, you know, up his rectum, you know, to torture him. That's the Street Crimes Unit in New York that did that. And this is the same police institution that has been created in St. Petersburg, Florida, that is making these attacks all around, and it's the same, and it's being instituted in places around the U.S. So yeah, it's clear. Go ahead.
Yeah, come on, being the unit that they had in Dallas, Texas, it had to be busted up because the community had tied it directly into the drug trade in Dallas. You know, this is the city where the cops are being busted smoking weed in the patrol cars, you know, but nothing, you know, I mean, so even the police chief was fired because he let the unit run rapid as drug dealers, you know. So it's clear that, you know, I mean, how drugs don't happen in the community unless the police be down with that. It's clear. Plus, but again, you know, I think that we make the mistake on defending, trying to defend our people based on the fact of what they did or they didn't do it. The fact of the matter is that that colonialism has imposed a drug economy on our community.
Yes.
They've used the same drug economy to criminalize our community and quadruple the prison population. Full of black people. Now they just coming to the realization, they say that sentencing black people has not been a fair situation. I mean, well, what kind of sentence is fair? You can't say that, but the fact of the matter is that they've been sending, you know, African people to prison 50 times the rate that they've been sending white people to prison for the same so-called drug. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they've got the prisons bursting at the seam. Then they accuse our youth of not being able to be employed because they've coerced them into some kind of felony plea, whether they did it or didn't do it. You know, once you see yourself confronting the colonial court system and they tell you to make a deal, then you see what happened to the rest of the people who tried to take it through the courtroom, that, hey, they did end up with the 75 years. So you take that five-year felony plea or even a two-year felony probation, but you still got the felony probation, which means that they've taken away all your rights, so-called rights, quote-unquote, to vote, right to even work, you know, especially since this concocted security questions around the 9/11 thing, you know. So it's a massive attack on African people, our rights to even work to provide a decent living for our families, you know. So this attack is not separate and apart, because they know that the International People's Democratic Uhuru movement exists there in St. Petersburg, Florida, and even as we speak, the massive comments that came into the St. Petersburg Times newspaper had nothing to do with that case, the so-called case. It had nothing to do with the case, but what it did was say, oh, them Uhurus do anything to get them off the street, because, you know, they are the problem, you know. Not that, you know, one person, he was there, I hate them Uhurus, but leave the weed alone, you know. I mean, you know, this is what they were saying, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got a lot of work to do with the white population.
Yeah.
And ours.
Yeah. Yeah. I want us to take a break here. We're going to come back, and we're going to have some discussion particularly around some of these attacks that have been coming online through this website, Yes But However. When we return again, we want to invite you all who are listening to participate in the discussion, and we'll put out the information again for you to do so. Right now, we're going to go to break and play some music for you. Last break, I didn't note it, but we played a song called A Song for Asada by Common and CeeLo, which is one of my favorite Common songs. But anyway,
for Asada Shakur?
For Asada Shakur. All
right.
Yeah, and we're going to play now a song by myself and Trigana, which is Diabo Lugbala, called Where You At.
How is it possible that people just die every day in a land so rich? What about them?
Yeah.
What about them?
Yes,
where you at?
My people's rise and take it to the streets.
Where you at?
We organizing, man, this crisis is deep.
Where you at?
But we ain't seen you in a couple of weeks. Don't let them have y'all scared to speak. Raise up and fight to go free.
Where you at?
In the streets, to the gutters, the alleys.
Where you at?
The bus stops, barbershops, and the traps.
Where you at?
At the rally, listening to Chairman O'Malley. From Guinea Corn to Greed to Cali, scream black powers, how you find?
I used to be young and foolish, didn't know what to do with my life. But inside was a clue, the situation was ruined. If life is a game, then Africans, we had to be losing. That's when I went to school and came in contact with the movement. That's when I finally found out that I was an African. It wasn't no magic folks back when the practice started to trap again. From back then up until right now, it was always fighting. Don't even think that we're settling down. No civil rights, man, get it right, man. Every Africa is our lifeline. So now we're organized to win this thing in our lifetime. It's fight time, ding. And around the world, people's just bucking. And if you think that you gon' pray it away, then good luck, cause you gon' need it. In fact, you weed it a bit too much. These crackers giving up nothing but beatings. And dude, that sucks. But while you duck and tell you what you need to look at the facts, ain't the people that got us some freedom without fighting back. So where you at?
My people's ride and take them to the streets.
And where you at?
Organizing, man, this crisis is deep.
Where you at?
But we ain't seen you in a couple of weeks. Don't let them have y'all scared to speak. Raise up and fight to go free.
where you at? In the streets, to the gutters, where you at? In bus stops, barbershops, and traffic, where you at? At the rally, this been the jamming, no matter. From candy corn to green, the Cali Street, like powers, how you find?
Find me in Southeast D.C., 5 minutes away from where George Bush and them stayed, where they equip young Africans with AKs and CRACK to commit violence horizontally, but ironically, we bust back with philosophy. Now we looking for enemies, finding new use for Hennessy. Molotov ring a bell to me, going to my seats, we getting free, getting cheese, not a concern to me. Crackers hurting me, trigonometry, matter of fact, they scared of me, cause I'm down with the people, bust rounds for the people. If you down with the beast, look down for your people. Black. Who is it? I truly live with a new vision of who isn't bullshitting. We full clippers, smooth niggas, pull triggers for you snitches. Niggas for you, my comrades, I'm here to see really young. I say these raps, play these tracks, spray these gats. That's where we at, that's where we at, that's where we at, that's where we at, that's where we at.
You're listening to WhoRadio.com, voice of the International African Revolution.
Welcome back to Africa Live here on WhoRadio.com. I'm your host, Nyabinga Zimbabwe. And I want to, first of all, we are on the line with Umwale K. Fing, the editor of the Burning Spear newspaper. We've been talking about these attacks that have been coming down against the Uhuru movement on different fronts. And we want to note that beginning on next week, the second hour that we usually run as Africa Live will now be taken up by a different program called Organizing 101, and that program is going to be hosted by none other than Comrade Umwale K. Fing, who is on the line with us. And I just want to give a moment to Comrade Umwale to say a little about that program and what it's going to be about. So go ahead, Comrade.
Yeah, I think that that this is going to be an important program, because for so long now, the organizational skills and ability has been, taken away from our people. They put our movement in jail, those organizers who did know how to do this thing. They put them in jail. So now we're trying to crank this movement up all over again, and we think that the people are ready for organization. So this is what we want to try to teach a little bit of. First place, we're looking at situations like Diop Olabu, Olabala, who's facing actual prison time if this movement does not build a proper response to that. Now, it's my opinion that we've got people all over the country and all over the world that want to do something to help Diop. But one question remains is, how do we do it? How do we organize an event to support Diop? How do we organize forums? How do we organize demonstrations? What is the, how do we put propaganda in motion to support our side, our telling of the story, So these are some of the things that we want to be putting in motion, from how do we put a flyer together, to what are the issues in our community that we organize around, you know, how do we reach the people, what it is that, you know, what does it mean to stand on a street corner, the soapbox, what does it mean to go into the parks with our literature, to win the, you know, the brothers and the sisters to the position of struggle. Just how do we, you know, organize these things? We're going to be trying to take it from the very initial step in terms of having the, you know, the confidence in oneself to believe that what you're saying is the most important thing that's being said on the planet Earth, and that this is what, you know, what I'm saying. The message that I have to take out here is the message that's going to change the relationship of African people to this terrible system of exploitation and oppression. So we're going to begin off with, you know, with some kind of theoretical basis for organizing, and, you know, going to show the practical steps on from putting a flyer together to the public service announcements to building forums around particular questions to, you know, how to bring some speaker into your town, to how to get the honorarium from the university, you know, the whole, I know that sounds a little bit more than organizing 101, but that's what we're going to be talking about, being the basic tenets of organizing, the ABCs of organizing, you know, and again, the first step in that is the confidence that the organizer must have, you know, that, hey, you know, I'm listening to the garbage out here. The word that I'm delivering is the word that the people want to hear, that they need to hear to get us out of this thing. Only thing we lack in is leadership, and every organizer that we put on the street is a leader. So that's just a few things that we're going to be talking about come next Sunday, and I'm particularly happy to be hosting this thing, and I would really want the participation of the community and all of the ideas, because everybody needs some help. So let's do this thing together, and hopefully we can put organizations in the streets throughout this country and throughout the world.
Ooh, yeah, I think it's right on. I'm looking forward to the program Organizing 101. I think that it'll be a really important program in terms of helping both our forces inside of the Uhuru movement and people in general who are organizing around work in their area and need to learn how to make it happen in a good way. I think it's going to be a really important program. So, I look forward to it. And again, that program is going to be beginning on next week at 12 o'clock noon U.S. Eastern time. So you'll be getting 1 hour of Africa Live, and you'll be getting an hour of Organizing 101. So, be looking forward to that, as I am. And what we're going to do now is we're going to talk about the attacks that have been coming down from this website, yesbuthowever.com. I put out the web address because I think folks should take a look at that stuff. It's interesting. I want to know, for, you know, the past couple of weeks at least, this website has had in its crosshairs our chairman Amalia Shetella, Curtis Gatewood, who is the second vice president of the North Carolina branch of the NAACP, and who, despite the NAACP's general position of selloutism, himself takes a progressive stand in opposition to imperialist war and for justice, and was an endorser of the Black is Back Coalition's November 7th demonstration last year, and has a relationship with the Uhuru movement for a few years now. And the Black is Back Coalition has also been in the crosshairs of this website. And the interesting thing about these attacks that are being carried out, as we said on last week, they're carried out in a way that doesn't even challenge our position, you know, doesn't challenge the correctness of our views, but instead, you know, challenges the fact that we state that we have the audacity to state these views. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't attempt to say, well, this, you know, they're saying these things and these things are wrong, but instead just put those things out, and one must deduct from that that what's being done is putting this stuff forward to expose our movement and mobilize reaction from the most rabid sectors of white nationalist forces in the U.S. And that's part of what's happening here. You know, in fact, one of the things we've been noticing, we've been getting calls recently, it's something that happens whenever, you know, we're involved in campaigns that really heat up. But we've been getting calls from the rabid white nationalists here at our headquarters in St. Petersburg, Florida. And this particular attack from this website is one that began with three articles that they published on August 10th. Two written by the site's executive editor, David Stein, who we'll talk more about later, and one by the guy who is the publisher of the site, John Romano. Now, these articles, the first of which is called Real Racism Within the NAACP. Is an article that begins its attack through the NAACP, saying that they should deal with their North Carolina Vice President Gatewood. This is done in a way that responds to the NAACP's call that the Tea Party purge itself of its racist elements, as it termed it. This attack here begins as a response to that, attacking through the NAACP, saying that they should deal with their North Carolina Vice President, Reverend Curtis Gatewood. And they quote him after 9/11, saying, quote, "Black males can no longer be used as sacrificial lambs at the time of war. Those black males who make it back home alive from war are likely to come home and be discriminated against by the very people whose businesses were headquartered in the World Trade Center, racially abused and profiled by an American police officer, killed on the streets in their crime-infested neighborhoods, or harmed by Bush administration policies. This is not the time to sacrifice our fathers, sons, and brothers to a country that has not protected our rights." And they also quote him, end quote. They also quote him as saying that he was opposed to, quote, "the nation's arrogant calls for blind patriotism, retaliation, and hatred," end quote. And that the September 11th, 2001 incidents were not, quote, "an attack on freedom." Now, the thing is, you know, they don't challenge any of these statements, the correctness of these statements. And I mean, those of you who are listening to these statements, if you are hearing the same thing that I'm reading, cannot hear this stuff and say, well, you know, that's wrong, that's messed up, you know. These statements resonate with anybody who has half a bit of sense in their brain. But what this article goes on to continue to do is, first of all, it states that the NAACP president, Kwesi Mfume, the then NAACP national president, Mfume, came out against Gatewood's statements then. They continue that they need to deal with this guy now because of his participation in this coalition called the Black Is Back Coalition for Social Justice, Peace, and Reparations. Of course, those of you who are listening here, or at least most of you, are familiar with the Black Is Back Coalition as the organization, the coalition that made the first mass, mobilization challenging Obama's regime's imperialist wars abroad and within the U.S., within U.S. borders. What this site does, this article on this site does, is it takes up from here this attack on the Black Is Back Coalition, quoting the BIB Coalition, statements from the BIB Coalition, again, not challenging anything around the correctness of the views in the statements, but just pointing to the statements having been said as if to say, look at these Negroes. They ain't got no business saying this stuff. And what they do is they provide a link to a video clip from the November 7th BIB mobilization. And it quotes various participants from the November 7th mobilization. And then after providing some quotes from Reverend Curtis Gatewood's letters to newspapers in North Carolina, where he's based, the article begins then to hone in on the chairman Amalia Shetela. From there, it ties Gatewood to the Uhuru movement, and before providing a partial transcript to an interview that Chairman Amalia Shetela did with Reverend Curtis Gatewood, and a link to download a 2003 issue, a PDF of a 2003 issue of the Burning Spear newspaper that featured that interview, it provides a link to a whole other page that's dedicated primarily to pulling quotes from our movement, some of which were from the chairman and others from various places, and attributing all of these to the chairman. And this is their page entitled Amalia Shetela. And here, they brand the chairman as a black separatist revolutionary. I always find that term interesting, the separatist thing, as if, it's done as some kind of right. Like everything together now, this guy trying to get away, from this great relationship that we have. When the reality is, that we want independence, but they brand the chairman a black separatist revolutionary. And then this page pulls these quotes, going back from 1980, up to now, some quotes, and in fact also has links to some video, video from the Congress that we just held in Washington D.C. in July, but also quoting the Burning Spear, and quoting other sources from our movement, books and articles on Uhuru News, one of which is the article on Omar Thornton. In fact, they a few days later, they do a whole nother page saying, oh, we got some more on these Uhurus, on Amalia Shetela, and says, see, he also... he also has a statement that is supporting this mass murderer, Omar Thornton, talking about the brother who after being subjected to you know, all these attacks in his at his job, including, you know, the hanging of nooses and whatnot to intimidate him, you know, ended up shooting down, and not just that, them sending investigators behind him, watching him, and then going to move against him with a firing. He then shot his employers and called his mother after the shooting and said, "I shot them racists that were messing with me, that kept bothering me." You know,
got them for they got him. That's the way he said it.
Right. I mean, and if you had a, if you working at a job and people hanging nooses and stuff, you know, Africans, we know what a noose is about. You know, that's a threat. You know, that's somebody telling you that they about to that they about to string you up. You know, there's a history tied to that whole thing. But this article, first of all, wasn't even written by the chairman. And this, like some other pieces in here, are being attributed to the chairman just because they wanna, you know, direct this whole thing towards him. You know, this whole thing towards him, and like I said, they pulling these quotes from various places, and you see the thing if you read these quotes. First of all, they're taken out of context, but even taken out of context, they make sense, you know, they make sense. In fact, for instance, in one thing, they use a quote that's saying, let me see, I'm looking for a particular quote that I had pulled out.
So while you're looking, man, just let me say this. Like, listen, the video that they put up of the Black is Back Coalition with our sister Pam Africa, she's actually lambasting Barack Obama, you know. See, and a part of David Stearns in this year's, but however, website, they're talking about, you know, they're trying to get us off on a whole nother discussion, even around what they call the N word in terms of nigger. Hey, listen, you know, I mean, they can't make us have, and people like Al Sharpton, them trying to reinvent the wheel, you know, concerning who we are as a people. You know, we are Africans, and they know that, we know that, and we talk any way we well please. Pam Africa said we wouldn't even know these words had not it been for the kidnapping. You know, so this is the point we start from. No, we don't have respect for them. We talk how we want to. And then we notice, but they've got the African petty bourgeoisie, especially in the form of people like Al Sharpton, who are trying to circle the wagons of neocolonialism and Obama and going to contribute our conditions to us using a word, you know, nigga, you know, the N word. Well, hell, everybody know who they're talking about, so why not just say it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, nigga. You know, I mean. So they're not going to reduce our struggle down to that. But you know, these are clever. Seem like, you know, almost police type people who are coming from this yes, but not yes. And by the way, they're Zionists. This guy David Stein.
Anyway. Yeah. Let me talk about that in particular. Well, first of all, let me note that what you're talking about, excuse me, in terms of this video from the Black is Back Coalition, they not only put it up then, but they also recently, on Friday, they put that video up again in response to African people being offended by this woman, this rabid radio host, Laura Schlesinger, or however you pronounce the woman's name, repeatedly calling Africans on her radio show nigger over the air. I mean, she went off. Nigger, you know, nigger. I don't remember how many times she said it in a 5-minute span, but it was a bunch of times. And then not just that, following that, recent vice presidential candidate for the Republican Party came out, Sarah Palin, came out in defense of Schlesinger's right to call y'all niggas, to call black people niggas, you know. Mm-hmm. So this whole thing came in response to that, where they saying, well, look, you know, they're standing in defense of Laura Schlesinger and Sarah Palin's demanding the right to call black people niggas, and you know, to support that, they say, well, look, the Black is Back Coalition had this mobilization, and at the mobilization, people are calling President Obama nigger, you know, and calling them coon, and calling them MFs, you know, and calling him a traitor, and somebody there said said something about whooping his tail, you know, and the reality is, he is a coon, you know, he is acting as what we call people when we say people cooning, you know, when we say that they stepping, you know, for white power to entertain or to move in the interests of white people, then that's exactly what he's doing. That's exactly what Obama's doing. When he met with when he had that beer talk with his homeboy Skip Gates and the police, he was cooning, you know. Every time he you know, takes a step to make white people feel better whenever they challenge him on anything, and he steps back and does whatever they tell him to do, you know, including the firing of Shirley Sherrod. It was cooning, you know.
He was cooning.
That's what it is, you know. So, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but reality is they ain't got nothing to do with Laura Schlesinger calling Africans niggas. You know, mm-hmm. That has nothing to do with that. Mm-hmm. And nor does it have anything to do, despite, with what, you know, some black middle-class forces would say, you know, with Africans calling each other's niggas, you know. And I'm not, you know, I'm not saying that Africans should walk around calling each other niggas. But what I'm saying is that there's a different kind of relationship when an African calls an African nigga and when a white person calls an African nigga. Because when North Americans call African niggas, historically, that's been accompanied with nooses and the burning of people's bodies and lynchings and all kinds of torture and terror visited upon African people. That's a relationship involved in that. You know, so that's the difference. But I wanted to say that, you know, because I wanted to note that this is not something that happened, you know, when these first group of articles came out and stopped. They're continuing to post stuff. It was a couple of days ago when they put that up, you know, mm-hmm. And they're continuing to do it. And it's clearly an attempt to put the Black is Back Coalition on blast, to put our chairman on blast, to mobilize this white nationalist fervor in our direction, this white nationalist attacks in our direction. And you noted that the writer of most of this stuff was a Zionist, this David Stern guy. He is a Zionist who has repeatedly defended this illegitimate settler state of Israel. And it is illegitimate. It has no right to be on the land of the Palestinian people. It ain't got no right, you know, despite, you know, their claims that God, the real estate agent, gave them that land, as Sharon Amalia Stella said, you know, God became a real estate agent all of a sudden and told them that the land is theirs. They ain't got no right to them people's land. They have no right to the land that they occupying. And in fact, this guy, one of the bases for his attacking us is saying that we're saying these bad things about Israel. Well, bad things need to be said about the settler state of Israel, you know, because it's illegitimate. You know, and in one article, I was looking over some of the things that he's written in the past. First of all, this guy, what he does also is he's a he does movies, he does film, and the films that he's done, he's in fact the president and CEO of this organization called Nisterim International Media, a media organization. Who seems to have done films primarily around the issue of the Jewish Holocaust. But in his articles, what he does is he, like, for instance, he has one article where he attacks a British musician, for refusing to perform in occupied Palestine in response to the attacks that the illegitimate settler state of Israel was waging on the Palestinian people. This is a musician who had before supported the Sandinistas back when the U.S. government and its CIA were working to overthrow the democratically elected government of Nicaragua. And Stein compares the U.S. government's Contras, you know, who committed terrible acts against the Nicaraguan people, to the Palestinian people, saying that the Arabs were, quote, trying to siphon off land, end quote, from Israel. Of course, and he also, one of the quotes, one of the things that he says is, the truth is some of the Arab states hate Israel simply because it exists. The fact that the West plopped a Jewish state on their turf enrages many Muslims in the Middle East. So it's not like he's unclear about just particularly around this question of Zionism. It's not like he's unclear about the fact that this, you know, state was something that was put there by the West. You know, not, it has nothing to do with any type of historical entitlement to any land there. But recognizing that it was put there through this, you know, these agreements with Britain to give them Palestinian people's land, which we're not going to go into right now, but he recognizes that. So his position is one that, you know, in unity with occupation. It's in unity with occupation in Palestine, and clearly it's in unity with occupation of African communities here and wherever else imperialism attempts to make its attacks. So these attacks that are coming down are directed by forces who know exactly what they're doing. Like you said, they know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, you know, Bing, they're, you know, attempting to legitimize imperialism, you know, all over the world. This is why, even, and I'm just going to get off for just a second. This is going to take me 1 minute to do this. This is why Obama, you know, and the imperialists, crooks who are orchestrating this war over in Iraq and in Afghanistan can tell you that they are pulling the last troops out of Iraq, but they go over into Kuwait, which, you know, which is in this real world, Iraq itself. You know, I mean, what right do they have to have troops in anywhere on the planet? You know, so. That whole thing of legitimizing imperialism is what all of this, you know, the attacks on the Palestinian people are, and comparing them with the whole people with a right wing death squad movement like the Contras that existed in Nicaragua. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all an attempt to disguise imperialism, especially as it exists in that I thought that speech by Pam Africa was right on time, right mm-hmm. on the money, you know. But yes, it was, you know, and you know, I mean, what she's saying is real. So no, we don't back up off of that, and we raise real issues to the people, and that we're being attacked by Zionists, the same Zionists who would attack the people in occupied Palestine.
Yeah, yeah. So we want to take a break here because we want to get Comrade Diop Olugbala on the line, because he's going to trial again in a couple of days, and we want to say a little more about that case. So we're going to go to break here and come back in just a moment. excuse me, with Diop Olugbala, and so stick with us here on WhoRadio.com.
Now we know that the American dream is something that everybody in this country wants a part of, and we recognize that we can experience it at the expense of most of the black people.
When America dreams, it's an African nightmare. Stolen goods like gold, diamonds, gold's hand right here. Slavery and misery, that's my family's plight here. When America dreams, it's an African nightmare. When America dreams, it's an African nightmare. Stolen goods like gold, diamonds, gold's hand right here. Slavery and misery, that's my family's plight here. When America dreams, it's an African nightmare. We in two different worlds connected. A relationship where you take and I'm supposed to accept it. Everything you got you stole from diamonds or the gold. You're scared with no, so your police protect it. Let's get real. Adding American to the end of my name's just game. That don't make me free. A million and a half of mine locked on prison blocks. And cops popping shots my way. Help me see, so let me be. I ain't asked to be your slave or your citizen. Got a black man as your president, but it hasn't meant no change in our conditions. Africans, listen. Can't get no change from hopes and wishing. Let's get power. Independence is the mission. So when this ends, wake your brains. Break the chains. Shake this game and take the reins. Let's make our aim. One Africa. One nation, we ain't playing. Raise up and make this struggle if you hear what I'm saying. When America dreams, it's an African nightmare. Stolen goods like gold, diamonds, gold's hand right here. Slavery and misery, that's my family's plight here. When America dreams, it's an African nightmare. When America dreams, it's an African nightmare. Stolen goods like gold, diamonds, gold's hand right here. Slavery and misery, that's my family's plight here. When America dreams, it's an African nightmare. Man, I cringe every time I hear y'all call me African American. Africans suffer from American terror, man. Don't tell me about no damn Taliban on my block. Osama ain't bombing his Uncle Sam. The U.S. government, see, we done figured your deal. Thieves get violent, that's how they protect what they steal. But you can kick, spit, swing, bite, fight, and cuss. But just trust, we coming for all that belongs to us. So you can call Barack Obama or Nelson Mandela, all them handpicked fellas. Your mans can't tell us what's up. Your time is up and we done peeped your scene. White power's dying and we about to end your scream. So send your team back to the lab, cause we ain't having it. And if future for us in no system built off our backs at last. We get one Africa, one nation in our hands. Divorce the system, man, and understand we African. Dreams, it's an African nightmare. Stolen goods like gold, diamonds, gold's hand right here. Slavery and misery, that's my family's plight here. When America dreams, it's an African nightmare. When America dreams, it's an African nightmare. Stolen goods like gold, diamonds, gold's hand right here. Slavery and misery, that's my family's plight here. When America dreams, it's an
Uhuru, and welcome back to Africa Live here on WhoRadio.com. I'm your host, Nyambinga Zimbabwe, and we're joined on the line by Omawale K. Fing in Houston, Texas, the editor of the Burning Spear newspaper, and by Diop Olugbala, who's joining us on the line from Philadelphia. And we want to talk about Diop Olugbala's case. He goes to trial on Tuesday, August 24th, again, and we want to first of all get an update, Diop, on the case and how it's looking. Is there a demonstration happening out there at the courthouse? And if you can just give us a bit of an update.
In the last week or so, we really have been on the ground in Philadelphia, getting the case out, mobilizing as much support as possible, and, you know, really raising up the political question at hand. Last Monday, we the Uhuru Solidarity Movement sponsored a free Diop rally that was attended by different activists and members of our organization, and we were able to raise some resources to pay for supply needed for the rallies coming up. Right now, I'm at the Cookman Baptist Church, actually, where I just made a presentation on NPDON's work and the case as well. We're mobilizing support amongst this congregation. tomorrow we're going to be holding a demonstration outside in Broughton area, which is a pretty major intersection in the heart of North Philly. And, of course, on Tuesday, which is my trial, on the 24th, at 8 o'clock, we're going to be holding a militant demonstration attended by, you know, various different organizations, including People's Organization for Progress out of Newark, New Jersey, the New Black Panther Party out of Philly and New Jersey, members of NPDOM branches in New York and D.C. will be in attendance, of course, the Philadelphia branch, the Uhuru Solidarity Movement, friends and family of Mumia Abu Jamal will be represented as well. We also will be having the Dollar Boys, a youth organization out of Philly. So we have a pretty broad representation of the Black Liberation Movement and just the community as a whole. So, and of course, the trial itself will be held. We're going to be doing a press conference to update the media on the trial itself, our position, and also really put everybody on notice that we expect for the district attorney and the courts itself to try everything in its power to, you know, sabotage our efforts. It's very possible that the state will try to delay this process in response to all the political pressure that it's been receiving from our members and supporters around the world. So we will be holding a press conference that's anticipating that type of attack by the state. And, of course, the trial itself will be held on Tuesday. So there's a lot going on in the next few days.
Can you say where some of I know people have been calling in and emailing in and even sending in letters to the judge and to the DA around this case. Can you say some of where those are coming from?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're finding support coming from all over the world. I received a phone call from comrades in Spain, notifying us to be comrades in Spain called. From what I'm told, Germany, the UK, Colombia, you know, comrades in Sierra Leone as well. And, of course, throughout the U.S. and Canada, forces are calling from all over the world, calling in support of the campaign, demanding my freedom. So it's definitely African internationalism at work in this campaign.
Touch one, touch out. That's right on, D-Op. And listen, we had a pretty good night with your literature. We had developed an independent free D-Op flyer here in Houston, and we worked a big festival last night, and I hope people will work the festivals or whatever events are happening in your community. We've got another festival, a street festival that we mobilized in the day where we're planning on getting hundreds, you know, more flyers out and talking to the people. And, you know, we've got the information and the phone numbers that they should call and demand your freedom, you know, and we want you to go into this thing on Tuesday, you know, with the maximum amount support as possible. And before you're off the air, you know, we want to give these numbers to people to call again. But listen, we had talked earlier about the different lawyers who might be listening out there, you know, in terms of being able to file a friend of the court brief, to just based on law and to let the state know that we're ready for any appeals process and that they should come on with it if they got anything, and if they don't, set you free, you know. That's where we're coming from right now.
Yeah, I want to, we've got just a minute or so left. I want to put out the information for folks to call in to the judge and to the district attorney. The judge's name is Roxanne Covington. And we want folks to call in on tomorrow. You can call in on Tuesday as well to the judge, Roxanne Covington, at 215-683-7142. That's a U.S. number. So if you're calling from outside the U.S., it's country code 001. That's 215-683-7142. And demand, you know, demand, you know, the release and the end to these efforts to convict Diop Olugbala, also known as Wale Rahman, for the trumped up felony charge of aggravated assault on the police. Also call the district attorney Seth Williams at 215-686-8000. Again, that's country code 001 if you're calling from outside the U.S. 215-686-8000 and demand all charges against him be dropped. So we got a couple seconds left. Diop, is there anything you want to say in closing?
Well, I just want to appreciate NPDOM, the African People's Socialist Party, African Socialist International for doing this work to, you know, to free me, and recognizing that this is an attack on our entire movement, and only the people are going to win this thing. So everybody out there, support this campaign, and most importantly, join our revolutionary organization so that our entire nation is gets this type of defense.
Uhuru. Oh,
man. You're a soldier, brother, and I appreciate that.
Uhuru.
Yes. Uhuru. All right, so that's it for Africa Live here on TheHuruRadio.com.